with us. And so I want to ask him to come right now and share the word of God with us.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I will miss all of you at the picnic. I will be in Brussels next week. So, yes, I know. Sorry, I'm missing you. I would actually have much preferred to be here. Maybe as I'm getting older, I like to be home more. I don't know if that's what it is or not. But anyway, it'll be great. The Lord did direct me to pray angels ahead of me before I went. So I don't know what that's all about, but I'm trusting him for it. So, to this. I've forgotten when it was. Sister Johnson would probably remember, but there was a, when we first sang that song here, it has that refrain, "For your glory, I would do anything. Just to see you, to behold you as my king." I remember when we first started singing that, of course, I'm back there and I'm supposed to be trying to prep for service and I can't. I'm just crying. I'm just like, yes, this is exactly what I have been feeling for so long. It gave words to what I'd been feeling and really helped clarify this desire in me that had begun to really clarify, to pursue the glory of God, to pursue his presence. I didn't even really know what that actually meant. I still don't really understand. But as I kept trying to understand what it was to try to put it into words, I was reminded of that story with Moses, where Moses asked the Lord, "Show me your glory." And so I went searching for that and stumbled on a set of scriptures that really kind of surprised me. So we'll see if we can run through a little bit of this just briefly. This is in Exodus 24, 9 through 14. "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let him come unto them." So if you look at this in the chronology of what was happening here, prior to this, the Lord had come down and had settled his presence on the mountain. And there was fire, and there was shaking, and there was trembling, and there was this manifestation of the power of God. And if you read in there in context, you'll find that God was doing this intentionally. He was telling Moses, he was explaining him, "I want the children of Israel to see my presence. I want them to see this." And they saw it, and it was terrifying. It was this amazing outpouring of the power of God. And The Lord told Moses, he's like, "I want you to set some bounds on this mountain. Don't let them come anywhere nearer. Don't let them come into here, because if they come too far, then they're going to be overtaken and they're going to die in the presence that I'm going to pour out there." And what I found fascinating, there was even one scripture, I didn't put it in here, where God is getting ready to do this thing and he's telling Moses, "Okay, Moses, go set up that fence, go set up the boundaries." And Moses is like, and I'm paraphrasing, but really, if you read it, he's like, "God, we did that. you told us to do that, and we did that. And God's like, okay, but make sure the fence is there. Make sure the boundary is there. Why? He wanted to show his glory to them. But there was a limit, of course, in that dispensation to how much he could do. Now, you read in here, just before this, there was a process where Moses went out and sanctified the people. He sprinkled blood on them. There were some sacrifices that were given. So clearly there was some preparation that was made for this experience that they had. But wow, what an experience. I'll have to admit, I kind of forgot this was in this series of events. I kind of forgot that something this powerful was there. This is the kind of thing I expect to find somewhere in Revelation or in the visions of Ezekiel or one of the prophets. But here it is, right up even before the dispensation of the law really got underway, even before the Ten Commandments were given. And if you go back through here a little bit, if you look, it says that they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. They sat down and communed with him. I can't imagine the impact this must have made on them. This is incredible. But surprisingly, the inventory of who was actually present at this is significant. Again, just back up a little bit further in the outset of this, the inventory here is Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. So Nadab and Abihu are Aaron's sons, if you remember from the story in here. That was his sons. So you'd think, wow, this was just pretty powerful, and you know everything's going to be great. What comes next is not so great. Exodus 32 comes along, and this is after the Lord has given the law, and Moses is up there. He's with God 40 days and 40 nights, and things just go completely sideways with the rest of the people of Israel. And it says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And so becomes this terrible story where just 40 days after the Lord had brought Moses up and had begun to set this whole thing in motion, just 40 days later, the people are worshiping a golden calf, and they are really out of control. If you read kind of the scripture in there, you see that Aaron has essentially lost control of the people in here. It's a tragic thing. And nothing in here explicitly says that the 70 elders were there watching all of this. So this could be just my conjecture. But I would imagine it reasonable to believe that the 70 elders were probably there. Moses told them before he sent them out, he told those 70 elders, if you got any questions, go talk to Aaron. They're supposed to be the elders of Israel. They're supposed to be the leaders. They were the ones selected of God. And actually, I guess they were selected by Moses, and certainly under the direction of God, to be sanctified and to come up into that mountain and see that incredible outpouring of the manifestation of the glory of God. And it didn't stick. Something didn't stick with them. So this is, again, it's not explicitly saying in here that they were there, but we do learn of something else later on in history that does go pretty sideways, and this was Aaron's sons, which if you remember, they were there also. These are the names of the son of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office, and Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. Now Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. So you've got two of Aaron's sons who were there. They saw the outpouring and the manifestation of the presence of God. And for them, it also didn't stick. Somehow they veered off the path somewhere early on in this process, right when they were still in the wilderness before the land of Canaan. They also went off into their own direction. So of the people that were there that day, that something even so powerful as that just didn't seem to register with them, with, of course, the notable exception of Moses. And so this is that section of verses that I went looking for, and this is Moses communicating with God. And now, mind you, and this is, I guess, what really blows me away, is that this was after Moses had experienced that incredible theophany up on the mountain, after he had seen God and all that radiance. It was awesome. It seemed to have impacted him clearly, but astonishingly, he wanted more. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, this is God responding to Moses, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, this is Moses back to him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses was making it clear that so desperate for the presence of God was he, that he wanted to make sure that he always had access to the presence of God. He always could find that place of stepping into the glory of God. And then it goes further. Again, Moses speaking, for wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses understood, even at this early stage, that the thing that would distinguish the people of God, the nation of God, would be their access to the presence and the glory of God. And he wanted to always maintain that. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then Moses says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. After everything that he has done, after getting to the point with this conversation with God, where God said that he would respond to Moses and go with him and always give him access, even after that experience on the mountain, even after spending 40 days there, after seeing God impart the law and establish this covenant, still Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And amazingly, God responded. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That last phrase there, I think, is significant. He was acknowledging that Moses, despite the relationship that he had, was still a sinful man. God was like, you know what? I can do this. I will show mercy on whomever I choose to show mercy, and I will show grace to whomever I choose to. I can do this for you, Moses. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. He made a way for this man so early in the entire time clock of God, just after the dispensation of the law that we would understand later to be imperfect in so many ways. God made a way to respond to this man's hunger and his cry, saying, show me your glory. There are a number of examples. This one stood out to me with the psalmist David. And one of the, and I was reading this, the preface for this chapter said it was when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God, earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you, my flesh longs and is faint for you, in a dry and weary land where no water is. I don't know why I never did really see this, but that is an interesting commingling of spirit and flesh. He's physically weak. He's physically in a place that is a wilderness, and yet he is seeking the Spirit of God, and he is seeking God and his presence as a solution for that. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. How did he deal with this desert place that he was at? He sought the glory of God, and he sought the presence of God. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. He was probably in a situation that was threatening his very life at that point, but he had recognized through a point of maturity that really the presence of God was all that he really needed. Just to feel that proximity to God would be better even than resolving whatever situation he was in. So I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My whole being shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate you on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you. Your right hand upholds me. I am, you know, to look at that story of Moses and to see what the Lord gave him access to and then had to set some bounds because of the place where they were at and the dispensation of grace and, I mean, dispensation of the law and all of that. I think of what we have access to now. This ability to come into the presence of God as collectively as a body several times a week if we choose to and experience something that is profoundly powerful. I want to make sure that when we gather together, that I don't ever miss out on those opportunities and that I let them have the effect they need to so that I leave them as Moses did and not as Aaron's sons did and not as the 70 elders very likely did as well. But then also I don't want to ever forget that I have access always to the presence of God. And sometimes I find just simply pursuing that alone, no matter where I'm at, it's incredible to me, even if I'm not in the right time zone, and man, it's been 2 or 3 days since I even really slept on the right schedule, so I have no idea what my prayer time is, and I'm just kind of all over the map, quite literally, and I just need something to sustain me. I can enter into the presence of God and find there the rest that I need. And I find that when I begin to pursue His glory, it sets a lot of things in order. Choices about the things that I spend my time on, the entertainment that I choose to be a part of, the conversations that I am a part of. It becomes easier to make decisions that my flesh is less comfortable with because my spirit understands, that's going to give me deeper access to the presence of God. It's going to guide me into deeper places in Him. And so I'm starting to try and understand this and to really take advantage of it. And I, you know, again, we are sinful flesh. We are broken in so many ways. But we are in the dispensation of grace. And so what I will do is I will repent and I will apply that blood anew to my life. And then I will take His righteousness and wrap it around me. And I will stand in His presence and I'll say, all right, God, just let it loose as much as you can, God. I want to experience your glory and your power and your anointing. Covered by your righteousness, covered by your blood, I want to experience your glory as I have never seen it before. I need it because it sustains me. I need it because it calls me into deeper and deeper places with Him. I need it because it sets so many things in order. That's my pursuit now. So many times when I enter into prayer with Him, just show me your glory, God, and show me whatever I can do to clear away the barriers between me and you so that I can continue to see more and more of it every day. Amen.
Why don't you just take a moment right now and talk to the Lord. Reach out to Him right now. Let His presence surround you in your situation. Let His presence surround you in your current circumstance. Jesus, we desire you. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for you. My soul hungers for you today, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hierarabosia rande alabosho robaye. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful that the Lord has given us the opportunity through prayer to stay connected. I can tap into that flow any time of the day or night by just starting fellowship with Him. I'm glad that I don't have to wait to come into a moment like this together. Although this is great, this is powerful, it's awesome. I don't have to wait for some special occasion. I can tap into that flow whenever He leads me to, or whenever I just need it. Like Brother Kendrick talked about tonight, I need touch, I need strength, and I can tap into that flow, and it's like a current of electricity. It's like plugging into an outlet, and it just starts flowing through me and all that it brings with it. A couple of weeks ago, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, somebody was up here teaching, and we talk about being a conduit in ministry, being a conduit that the Lord can flow through. And I'm in the electrical industry, and when I think of conduit, I think of electrical conduit, because that's what I deal with on a daily basis, electrical conduit. And every now and then, I run across situations where especially in renovations, building renovations, where architects or engineers will say, use this conduit in this building, use this conduit in this room for this purpose, to get power to this new camera or power to this new light that we're going to put in or whatever. And it's on the plans. It's put up there. And so we bid the job that way. And then we get to the site, and the contractor or the superintendent will call me and say, hey, listen, this isn't going to work. Well, why won't it work? Because that conduit is packed full of wires. That building was built in the 50s or the 40s or the 60s, and every renovation that's gone on up until this time, everybody's had the same idea. Let's just use this conduit. And they keep filling it full of stuff, and it gets to the point where there can be no more passage through it. It's no longer good for its intended purpose. So what ends up happening is they end up having to put an additional conduit in. It doesn't mean that the wires that are in that conduit are useless, but the purpose of it is to allow things to pass through it, not to stop things up. I have a purpose. I ask the Lord every day, let me be a conduit of your Spirit. I don't want to get my life so full of stuff. And I'm not saying it's always bad stuff that I get full of. My schedule gets busy. My life gets busy. My family gets busy. And those are not necessarily bad things, Brother Toms. There's nothing wrong with having a busy life with my children. There's nothing wrong with having a busy life with church. But if I'm not careful, I can get so much crammed into my life that nothing else, there's no room for anything else to pass through there. And my purpose, what I want to do, is be a conduit that His Spirit can flow through. We just got home from youth camp this week, last week, late last week, early this week. I was telling my wife today that I was praying with a kid in the altar one night. I've known this kid for a few years now, and I prayed with him one night. He couldn't seem to get a release, couldn't seem to get a breakthrough spiritually. And it was probably 10 or 15 minutes before he finally got a liberty to pray in the Holy Ghost. And boy, just the joy that just flooded him and the overwhelm. He began to weep and just, you could tell it had been a long time since anything had just flowed through that vessel. Something was stopping him up. And, you know, as teenagers, who knows? But as he began to weep, I began to weep because I just, there's something in my innermost being, Sister Lindsay, that just identifies when somebody gets that breakthrough, when something's been clogging you up for a while, and then suddenly it just, something breaks free. Maybe you're in a desert or a dry spell in your walk with God, and finally you get that break free moment where you just, there's a free flow of His Spirit, and you feel that for the first time in a while. It's just, oh, there's something overwhelming about that. And it makes me all the more grateful for the liberty and the flow and the opportunity to tap into it that He gives me on a daily basis. I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to take it for granted. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you, Brother Kendrick. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for spirit ministry, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hira la 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 basia rondo roma ramahaye. Hira la 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 bosso rondo ria ramahaye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, let there be a free flow of your spirit through my life. Let there be a free flow. Let it be like that river of living water you describe in your word. Out of my belly, out of my innermost being. Let it flow out of me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, stir up the gift of God within us tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll see you back here on Sunday.